Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 681 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Webtoon Wednesday episode. Today, I'm going to be talking to comic creator Shen. He had one of the first kind of North American originated strips on Webtoon. It's a little different than some of the strips I've covered before, which tend to be more long form narratives. This is much more like a comic strip you would see in like your Sunday comics or your daily comics in the newspaper. It's, you know, fewer panels, five or six, kind of has a punchline, really humorous, so really funny. It's called Blue Chair. And as I said, different than anything we've covered before, but Shen has a lot to say about working with Webtoon, digital creative rights, the best way to get your work in front of people. It's a really great interview. Had a great time talking to him. And I think that Webtoon is really growing and it's worthwhile. And it's pretty amazing how these comics are touching people, both, you know, the more longer form narrative and the kind of humor strips like Shen does. And we talk a little bit about that in the interview. Shen talks about seeing a cosplayer for one of his characters for the first time, which is really, really cool. So again, Webtoon is totally free. There's a link in the show notes. You can go and check it out if you want to visit the site. I really recommend it. There are comics there for just about every taste. I can't really think of a genre that's not represented there. So if you go to webtoons.com, you can browse around and take a look at some of the strips from the creators that we've had on the show, or, you know, kind of browse around and discover some of your own. In fact, speaking about Discover, that is the place where just about anybody who wants to can go and create a digital comic. They give you the tools there, and if it's good, like the cream always rises to the top, maybe you'll have a chance to be moved over to the feature section where Webtoon will then start paying you for your content. It's a really great way to get your foot in the door, start networking, start meeting people. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no detriment to Webtoon. It's only positive. There are so many great stories. There's so much content. You couldn't possibly read it all. You can try, spend years trying to, but I don't know that you would necessarily succeed. There's just so much content there. And again, it's all free. But the other thing I love about Webtoon is they're paying competitive rates for a lot of these creators that have their content on the featured side. So that is just amazing. The fact that they can make this model work with giving free content to readers, and yet the creators are compensated very, very well. So I hope you all enjoy the interview. And I'll be back right at the end with a few more words. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Webtoon Wednesday. I have with me the creator of a really fun strip that I recently discovered on Webtoon. Shen, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Hey, Jace. Happy to be here. And thank you for calling my Webtoon strip fun.
You know, it's really... It really is funny. It really is humorous to me. When Kim, the one who facilitates all these interviews for us, she had said, well, this is a little different than, you know, some of the other strips that you've had on so far. You know, they're a little more in the traditional kind of comic realm, you know, a little more narrative storytelling. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's whatever you want to do, Kim. So I jump on, and I always like to start from the very beginning. So I jump on webtoons.com, and I scroll all the way to the end, and I start just reading. And before I know it, like an hour has gone by, and I'm on like episode 35. And there were several where I laughed out loud. I was like, yeah, that's true. That's funny. That's exactly how life is. So you've really captured like something special, I think.
Yeah, thank you. I try to make them kind of like bite size, so that I try to create that effect that, you know, you want to read another after you're done with one, because each of them is kind of insular and can be presented by itself, right? But there are a few continuities too, so it kind of there is a bit of a reward for actually reading a lot of it and not just like picking them at one at a time, right?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Blue Chair in a second, but I always like to ask people when they first come on kind of about their background. And being that your strip's a little different than any of the things we've covered before, you may have a little bit of a different story. So did you grow up reading comic books, or was it mostly comic strips? Like, what's your background with like sequential storytelling as kind of growing up as a reader?
This is probably like a pretty common story among all sorts of people who went on to become artists, right? But my dad got me a bunch of the Calvin and Hobbes books when I was really little, right? And I got so into them. Like, they were the best thing ever. I didn't like to read. Like, you could not force me to read, but I love to read these things. Like, if it was presented that way, I could read them, you know, to infinity. Right. I would reread every single book multiple times. And then sometimes, you know, he would take me to like the local bookstore, the local Barnes & Noble. And there I would, I don't know, I would pick up like Far Side and read a bit of that, read a bit of Dilbert, Garfield. I loved Garfield as well. And also Shel Silverstein, got really into that, ended up getting some of those books. He's kind of like a poet, but he has illustrations too with his work. So that was what I guess sparked my interest in cartoons. And then at some point I kind of convinced myself that cartoonist wasn't actually a career, right? So I'm like, okay, I got to think of something better. I got to think of something that's like actually a career. So I thought I wanted to be a writer, right? And to a point, that was even kind of true, because I was a big fan of Stephen King. And I was a big fan of like horror writing and stuff, you know, Lovecraft, that type of stuff. So that was kind of true. In like late high school and in college, I really like rediscovered my love for like more visual media, like not just writing, but having illustrations to go with it.
And so at that point, was that when you decided, I really want to pursue this? I want to try to be a cartoonist?
Oh, no. Well, I still wasn't really convinced that it was a real career. So I was like, okay, well, this is like, I'm really into this hobby I have right now. And I started sending in comics to like my college newspaper. And, you know, eventually I started posting them online. But at the time I was studying like computer science and like operations management, because I obviously like I wasn't all in on the cartoonist thing. I considered towards the end of college just trying to, because I was already working with Webtoon at that point, right? So I was making like okay money, not really, maybe not quite enough to support myself, but I thought, hey, maybe if I commit myself full time to this, I could actually just do this straight out of college, right? Some people, if they get successful enough as like a YouTuber or something, they'll drop out of college, right? And you know, I wasn't quite at that level. I ended up though getting a job as a web developer for a while.
Okay, well, that's something to fall back on, because you're right. I mean, being a cartoonist, even now with the success you've had, you know, there's always that kind of a lack of a safety net when you're a freelancer. And, you know, I think about being a cartoonist, and, you know, we hear the stories about so many of our listeners are looking to break into comics, or they've heard so many stories about people trying to break in, and it is, you know, a small industry. Everybody kind of knows everybody, and there are only so many jobs to go around. I have to think, as a cartoonist, it seems like it's even smaller. Am I wrong in thinking that? I mean, there are only so many strips that show up in the newspapers every day, or the Sunday funnies. I mean, granted, those aren't the only places to find comics, but I have to think it's, you know, it's a very small, you know, amount of cartoonists that are in demand, right?
Yeah. It's pretty small in terms of like I guess the market share that we have to go around here, right? Because, you know, cartoons, they aren't exactly movies, right? They aren't like the medium that like everybody you see on the street. Like you can't go out on the street and pick out a random person and that person reads comics. Not quite. A lot of people do, right? Especially in places like Korea and Japan and stuff, right? But in the United States, it's not quite as prevalent as some other media that like literally everybody consumes, like TV, movies. I don't know, podcasts are growing too, especially among millennials, right? So you're right in saying that, like opportunities to make a living are a bit limited, right? But at the same time, there is very little barrier to entry, right? Like basically, if you have a computer, you can make a webcomic. And if you buy a tablet for like even like $100, right? I draw on $100 tablet right now. I don't have like a Cintiq or anything, right? If you buy a tablet for $100, that's like more than you need to make a comic. You don't even need the tablet, strictly speaking, you know?
Right.
So there's really no harm. Like if it's something that you feel like you might be interested in, there's no harm in taking a shot at it. After all, nothing's going to happen if you don't take a shot, right?
Right. And I mean, that's a thing, I've talked about it with a lot of Webtoon creators about the fact that there really is no excuse now. You know, it used to be you had to live in New York or you had to do the con circuit and kind of network and get your work in front of editors' eyes. Now with the ease and these tools, and Webtoon is a great tool for getting your work out there. There's no excuse. You can't, if you want to make comics, if you want to make a comic strip or you want to make a comic book, just get out there and do it. Do the thing that you want to do. Become what you want to become. And if it's good, the cream will rise to the top. People will find it. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Generally speaking, I think anybody with enough determination can probably make a living off of doing comics. Now, obviously, it doesn't happen immediately.
Right.
Like for me, it took what, like 5 years before I went full time with it. So it's not the type of thing that happens immediately. But I've seen a lot of really huge success stories in even my relatively short compared to like the XKCD guys and like the Penny Arcade guys, relatively short span as a comic artist. I've seen a lot of like huge successes.
Yeah. What would you say personally for you was the biggest challenge since you kind of decided, well, you know, in college, I'm going to do this and I'm going to devote some of my time to it. Maybe not all. It's my number one hobby, but you know, I'm still going to have a day job. Going from that point when you decided that you were going to invest energy into it to making that transition to going full time and to where you are now, what would you say the biggest challenge that you've faced in that time was?
Oh, it's like, this obviously isn't going to be the biggest challenge for everybody.
Right.
Right. But for me, this was personally a very big challenge, which is, as I went full time with it, and, you know, I told the people at work, like, hey, I want to like part time for a month, like finish up my stuff, that I have to do. And then, you know, I'm gonzo, is I realized that, a lot of the ideas that I was getting for comics, a lot of the inspiration was in that mandatory hassle, mandatory social interaction that I had to do every day. Like work was the engine which provided me with ideas for comics, right? And then when I went full time I realized that like in the absence of that, I'm a bit of a shut-in. Like I will just sit in my room all day and I will like isolate myself. Then naturally like the ideas for comics stop coming. Right. So the biggest challenge was kind of, incorporating things, into my schedule and like forcing myself to, you know, be social, to, say yes to a lot of the type of stuff that I wouldn't normally say yes to. Right. And try a bunch of new things in order to keep that little engine going so that I can be a successful comic artist. Right. So it's not, it's not all about like how strictly how much time do you have to do a thing. It's also about how much inspiration do you have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've heard creators talk about that at cons. You know, they want to engage with the fan. They're like, I might be drawing right now, but please talk to me because I do this alone all day at home. And Jen Bartel, she's another creator who I hear say, you know what? Just because you're under deadline and you feel like you need to be working, even when you're going and experiencing and consuming other media, that's still working because you need that input to kind of, you know, refill your tank. So even doing things like going to see a movie or watching TV or whatever, you know, you kind of need that as a creator to be inspired and to take in influences.
Yeah, and I write it all off on my taxes. Just awesome. Kidding. IRS, please do not investigate me.
Well, let's talk. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, let's drill down specifically into Blue Chair. Kind of tell our listeners what it's all about and where you came up with the idea to do kind of this slice of life, random, like stream of consciousness thought kind of strip. Where did it all start?
So before Webtoon like formally launched, they reached out to, I think they were bringing in a lot of like, they were translating a lot of their Korean comics, and they were launching with those, but they were bringing in two American creators, right? I think mostly, well, you know, not everybody that makes Webtoons right now is from America, but I think mostly Webtoon is now populated by stuff that has launched since that time, right? So a lot of the Korean comics have kind of even taken a bit of a backseat to a lot of the new stuff that mm-hmm. they've brought in, right? But at the time, they brought in just me, who they pinged to make, well, they pinged a lot of people, but I think the only two that responded are me, right? Cause it seemed like a scam. Somebody was just like, hey, we'll actually pay you for comics. And that seemed like a scam to a lot of the webcomic people, right, believe it or not. That's how cynical we were. And they pinged Mikey Heller, who I think was doing a comic called Time Travel. He's kind of like a stand-up comedian, right? He started doing a comic with them called Library Ghost, about a ghost that lives in a library. Pretty self-explanatory, yeah. You know, interacts with the library goers. And what they told me was they basically wanted a comic from me that was like what I was doing with Altered. And Altered was just my regular comics that featured the character called Shen, which is like a bit of a self-insert, right? They asked me for a title, and I was just like, well, what do you mean a title? You just said you wanted Altered. I guess I have to pretend it's not Altered. So I told them that I wanted to call it Blue Chair, based on the fact that Shen sits on a blue chair when started his feels and stuff. The first year of those, I don't even know what I was doing because I was like younger than I am now, right? Like, I don't even think about comics the same way now that I thought about them then. So I look back on those and I'm like, what? Like, where did this even come from? Like, what? Why would I make this? I guess eventually I settled on it being kind of like a stand-up comedy in comic form type thing, right? Because, you know, I have a lot of weird gripes and observations, and I guess that lends itself well to that type of format.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about this already. The one of the things I noticed about it when I started checking it out is you have a lot. I mean, granted, you were there from the beginning when Webtoon came over to kind of North America, but you have a lot of content there. And so I look at the release schedule. And I'm like, what? He's doing like three a week. So, you know, we already talked about a little when you lost the kind of that social interaction at work. But it has to be sometimes a struggle. Like, I'm under deadline. I got to come up with an idea. Is it ever like, oh man, crunch time? What am I going to do?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it can be that way. Sometimes I'm really like pressed up against a deadline. Right now, thankfully, I'm trying to get ahead, right? And I find that it's kind of like a bit of pressure can lead to some good results, right? Mm-hmm. It can lead to some really funny ideas because it's a sort of emotional tension.
Right.
And I find that that helps me for writing, right? At the same time, having very little pressure can also lead to some good stuff, you know, because you feel like you have time.
Right.
You can let your mind wander. You don't have to take the first idea that pops up, right? I do get pressed up against deadlines sometimes, and you know that's why my manager is a character in the comic who, you know, tells me that I have deadlines constantly. This is just kind of like a recurring bit. Those are pretty cheap. That's like, hey, like the comic that I have to make for the deadline is about the deadline, right? So I try to do those pretty rarely. I also have a backlog of ideas. You know, some of them I write down like before I go to sleep, and then I look at them a few days later, and you know, they just aren't that funny. It's like they've gone stale.
Right.
It's like this, like the best thing that I had ever written at like 1:30 a.m. But it's just kind of like that moldy apple on your counter that you don't even like. You don't even want to touch it because it's gross. You know, you should throw it out, but you don't want to get near it. Yeah, I'm not saying there's one of those on my counter, but there might be. No doubt. It's a hefty release schedule. The other thing that kind of helps is the episodes tend to be pretty short, right?
Right.
I'm not putting out these 40 panel like novelettes that some people do. I do not understand how they do it. That's superhuman to me, right? They do tend to be pretty short too.
Yeah. Now, have you ever drawn inspiration from meeting any fans of Blue Chair? Has there been some interactions where you've gone, oh, that's going in the strip?
Most of the meetings with fans that I have happen in the same context, which is conventions, right? And I've drawn a few comics about conventions. People have drawn a few comics about, like, sometimes I see a comic from like a reader pop up on Tumblr about how they met me at New York Comic Con or something, and they'll draw themselves in their little cosplay, right? But I feel like that's just so like separate in my mind, right, from the comics themselves. I think every time I have that type of an idea, I get kind of afraid that, you know, like they'll like identify themselves in the comic, right, and it will hurt their feelings or something, right? And I don't want that to happen. You know, obviously, like, funny stuff happens at cons, but I tend to not write about it.
Right. I don't want to get too meta. Was it a hit right away? Like, early on, so Webtoon brought you on and you put it out there, and did it kind of catch fire right away, or was it more of like a slow burn?
Well, Webtoon itself didn't catch fire right away.
That's true.
So, yeah, and, like, within... I mean, within the realm of Webtoon, I would say it was a relative hit. Yeah. Like when it launched. Now it's actually less so. Now they have like comics that are like huge, right? But it's still around, right? And as Webtoon grew, obviously it grew along with it. Now during the time that I was at Webtoon, that I've been at Webtoon, like my social media presence has also grown pretty substantially, because I sometimes make comics outside of Webtoon, mm-hmm. right? And in 2016, it went from 30,000 like likes on the Facebook page to like 800,000.
Wow.
Because of a particular comic that I did, right? And so Blue Chair sort of experienced a growth with that. But that was obviously delayed from when it launched in 2014.
Was that the moment, like when your social media started to blow up, was that the moment where you said, oh, something's happening here. I have made it as a cartoonist. Or was there another point where you kind of started feeling more secure and confident in your career choice?
I don't know if that started yet, to be honest. I mean, that was definitely like, it was definitely exciting, right? Mm-hmm. To see that level of growth. And then it was about like, I don't know, about like half a year from then that I decided to quit my job as a developer and just do the comics thing full time. But there have been a lot of points where, you know, I don't know if made it is the right word, but I felt like I was doing something kind of important, right? Like that, like there was at this past New York Comic Con, there was a guy who was cosplaying as Life, which is like a, like I represent Life as like this big purple buff dude. Often he has like a bat or a club of some sort, right? And there was a guy who cosplayed as Life, and it was like a, it was like an effortful cosplay too, right? And it was just like, that was like a big moment for me where I was like, oh my god, like is this actually for real? Like, this person has taken the time to paint themselves purple and dress up to represent something that I made, right? That was pretty amazing. I still don't know whether I've made it or not. It's always, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it's kind of a precarious situation where you're kind of freelancing or working for yourself or whatever you're doing. But I do like those little moments of like validation for the work that, you know, I've put in.
Yeah, it's kind of like a real world example that you're actually like touching people. You're affecting them. You know, you're interacting with them, maybe not face to face, but in kind of a deeply personal way. Because these strips are your children in a way. You're bringing them to life.
Yes. Yeah. These. These strips are definitely my children. Well, they're like little Frankensteins, you know. I'm kind of like the Dr. Frankenstein, where it's like, yeah, the strip is my child, but like it's pretty horrendous, and it's like somewhere out in the where did Frankenstein's monster go? The Alps?
Was it? I think so. Yeah.
It's like somewhere out in the Alps, just stomping around and being horrible. And then it like makes its way to weird Facebook and like 9gag and like Imgur and stuff. And it becomes a meme. And then I like see it in the wild and I'm like, oh, that's kind of nasty, but I made that.
It's evolved in a way.
It's evolved.
You mentioned when Webtoons first reach out to you, a lot of people, you know, they reach out to more than just, you know, you. And Mikey Heller, but at what point did you start thinking, okay, this is a legitimate something, and I'm kind of happy that I got in on the ground floor?
I would say that was at the point where they started bringing in a lot of other webcomic artists that I knew, right? Mm-hmm. Because we had a community among us. Right. And currently that community has quite a good relationship with Webtoon. And they started bringing in basically a lot of the people that, I just saw online. And I'm just like, hey, I know that person and I know that person. And it was actually like their comics were gaining traction on Webtoon. They brought in like Reza Farazmand and, Dave Mercier, who are, you know, I'm kind of friends with them. Julia Kay. Just a lot of people that I knew. So it was at that point that I sort of began recognizing it as not just some like experiment that, that some company in Korea was doing, but like a big legitimate platform that has like a future.
Yeah. And, digital comics have been around for a while. So it's not like Webtoon legitimized them by any means, because they were there, you know, long before Webtoon, but kind of centralizing thing. You know, a lot of people were putting stuff out on Tumblr or you know, different platforms. But this kind of centralized things. And it really, in my mind, when Webtoon kind of blew up and started getting more successful, started hearing things about it, it sort of made things, at least in my mind, and, you know, granted, I'm just a reader, I'm not a creator, but in my mind, it gave some legitimacy to the idea that we can do these digitally, and it can be, you know, great content that's, you know, updated weekly or, you know, three times weekly, how, you know, however you want to do it. But a medium that had traditionally been in print, when Webtoon came around, that's when I kind of felt like the shift went over to saying, no, digital is just as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like legitimate, you know, it's not like a passing fad. Like it's here to stay. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think digital is totally a legit thing right now. I mean, there are a lot of platforms popping up, like Comixology, like obviously, right? Andrews McMeel, who published, you know, Garfield, Dilbert, all those people, launched their own platform called Go Comics. So everybody is trying to get into the digital thing. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Like, I think there's pretty much all of the opportunity that there was in print comics and then some. I think there's, more room for, format variants, for, coupling different forms of media, right? Like probably the most impressive recent example of it is Homestuck, right? In the fact that introduced, you know, writing, not even coupled with images, music, games, and comics, and presented it as a web comic, right? And that's something that obviously wouldn't be possible, you know, in print media, right. unless your book came with like a disc that you're supposed to listen to, yep, at the same time as reading it, you know, which I think that was a thing at some point.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I think this expansion is cool. And obviously not to mention the fact that distribution is so much easier, right? Like you don't have to import anything. You just have to have a mobile device, and then you can distribute it to everybody's mobile device, right? So it has basically a pretty easy global reach. The only disadvantage is there isn't a whole lot, like in the consumer base, right? There isn't a whole lot of expectation that a comic isn't free, right? So like in traditional media, you know, you would have like a free comic book day or something like that, and you would give out an issue. But most of the time you had like a consumer base that was used to, hey, like I want these issues, so I'm going to pay for them, and I'm going to pay for them by the issue. And so there was sort of a built-in profit model there, right? Whereas now we have to get a little bit more creative, because the first, you could even say it's like two decades now of webcomics, right? The first two decades have kind of set the precedent that webcomics aren't something that you pay for.
Right. Yeah, and I think, and we've seen the same thing in digital, you know, comic books, traditional comic books, is it's so easy to kind of pass them around, you know, passing around digital files. It's not something tangible that you hold in your hand. And so, yeah, I think people, you know, they for some reason, they think it's okay to pirate it, or that the, you know, the creator doesn't need to be compensated for their work. It's it's definitely a challenge for sure, which is what's so great about Webtoon, because it does provide a platform where for the end user, it's free. You can go and check out any number of titles. But you guys are all getting, one thing I love about Webtoon is that they're paying competitive rates, with like traditional publishers, Marvel, DC, or whatever. I don't know how it compares to, rates for comic strips, but, I gotta think it's comparable in that way as well.
Well, like rates for comic strips. I don't know if I actually have any experience with rates for comic strips, because by the time that I entered the industry, syndication, which was the primary engine of revenue,
right,
for them, aside from merchandising, was kind of on the way down. So comic strips have always been about more like building an IP, right? Mm, and right. Then you sort of have tangential projects to that IP, which make money.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess print was already sort of on its way down by the time you kind of...
It was. It was. I think I caught the tail end of it. It's one of those things that I think my generation caught the tail end of, because I don't think that Gen Z is reading much comics in newspapers,
right?
Obviously, I think they're probably more likely to go to places like Webtoon for that type of stuff.
Yeah, and another thing that I really like about Webtoon, the platform, is that we're talking about distribution. So if you wanted to sample a bunch of different strips, outside of going to a bookstore and flipping through a bunch of different kind of, compilations of strips, there's not really a good way to sample to find something that you would like, right? But again, as long as you have a mobile device, you go to Webtoon and there's literally thousands of comics that you can get a chance to sample to see if you find something to your liking. That's one of my favorite features about Webtoons. What are some of the aspects of Webtoons that you really enjoy, both as a from the creative side of things and also as a reader?
Right. Well, from the creative side, my favorite thing has to be the community that's there, mm-hmm. right? People say that Webtoon has kind of a very strong comment culture, right? So they're really fans of your comic. They're really engaged. They really want to talk to you. They want to interact with you. It's sometimes annoying. I can't believe that this is a complaint that I have. I'm so fortunate to have this sort of complaint. But it's sometimes annoying how much people in the Webtoon community want to have to do with me, right? That's definitely very cool. They email me fan art and things like that, and they talk to each other in the comments. It's a lot of fun. As a user, my favorite thing has to be, I actually really like the Discover section. Mm-hmm. The Discover section is kind of how do I describe this? It's the portal of Webtoon, right? Back in the day, Newgrounds had a portal and they had a front page, right? So the featured section is kind of the front page, and then the Discover section is kind of the portal from which they pull stuff into the front page sometimes. But the Discover section, there's so much good stuff in it. Like anybody can sort of post there, right? And again, the best stuff, the most compelling stories, or the most compelling, most humorous, scariest, whatever is the value judgment in their genre, tend to rise to the top, right? And so if you've kind of gone through all of the stuff that you're interested in the featured section, which is a hard task, yeah, in and of itself, right? Then there's this whole new world. There's this whole new game plus for you, out there that you can explore and contribute to, right?
Yeah, would you say that's if someone's looking to kind of break in, whether it's traditional comics or doing strips, getting on Webtoons, creating your own content and putting it in the Discover section, that's a great avenue to get your work out there for people to see, right?
Yeah. It's kind of if you want to be a video maker, right, you probably go to YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a game developer, you probably go to Steam. So even if it's not the only avenue in which you output your work, I would definitely recommend it being an avenue, because it's a really good place for people to discover your work, right? Like, especially if you're putting yourself out there for the first time, you know, it's a very like non-toxic community. I probably shouldn't even compare it to YouTube in that sense, right? But it's a very non-toxic community. You know, there's a lot of encouragement. It's just nice. It's a nice place to start out.
Yeah, and then when we start talking about the format of Webtoons, what I love about it, you know, the vertical strip, and when you think about, you know, like traditional comics, like if Blue Chair were you know, a traditional like Sunday comic, it would be, you know, in the a strip probably horizontal going across the page, as opposed to a comic book, you know, more traditional, longer narrative, where it's, you know, panels on a page, and you know, you're turning pages and you're going along. So what I love about Webtoon is that you've got both. You've got the, you know, the more traditional humor type strips, but you've got the longer form narrative. But what's brilliant, what they've done with that that vertical strip is they've kind of bridged the gap between the two, right? Because like you said, yours tend to be, you know, a little shorter, maybe, you know, 6-8 panels at most, whereas some of them, you know, long 40 panels to an episode. And it just works. It works for both, and it's such a great format. What are your thoughts about the format as a creator? Do you like that that vertical format?
Yeah, I'm very into it because it lets me control the timing of a comic to a very good extent, right? Like, you know, approximately the speed at which people scroll, at which they read things. And once you gain experience, you start learning ways to slow them down or speed them up in that sense, right? Make them pause, whatever you want to do. And they only see the images one at a time. So it's not like you're opening up a comic book, right? And even if there's something that maybe you're not meant to see yet, that's not meant to be revealed quite yet, because it's building up tension, you still kind of already see it right out of the corner of your eye, right? That problem is not present here, right? There's a lot of stuff that that you can play with. Like, I know a lot of people do these beautiful how do I describe it? A vertical panorama, right? In which you have like a, you know, stars and then clouds and then, you know, it's like a very fluid storytelling. So it's definitely interesting that scroll format, that vertical format. And it does, you're right in that it unites, long and short comics because, well, I mean, it's just basically a way to view them, right? So you can, all you have to do to turn a newspaper strip into that is to just turn it on its side, right? And for a book, I mean, unless it was originally intended to be formatted that way, books can be a little bit harder, right? Like, I know they got Tracy Butler, who makes Lackadaisy Cats, I know they got her to try to format her Lackadaisy comics into a vertical format, whereas originally it was like in a book format, right? Admittedly, you know, if you're going from that to that, then it can lose some of the effects that you had on the page, right? Some of the types of panel overlapping, right? Some of the sizing that you intended, right? If it's reformatted skillfully, a lot of it can be retained. And if it's originally made for that format, then, you know, there's nothing lost.
Yeah, and it's not only the format, you know, how it's laid out with that vertical, but you, like you said, you're scrolling, so you're also getting that sense of motion sometimes, which can lead to those kind of cool panoramas like you're talking about, where, you know, you see one straight line start to branch out into something else. You can do things with color. It's really quite, like, I didn't know what to think of it at first when I was like, wait, it's a vertical scroll, and that, you know, it only took reading, you know, one or two episodes of something before I went, yeah, this totally works. Cause like you said, you can play with pacing, you can play with reveals, and you can really set timing for things like punchlines and, emotional beats that, you can't do in any other format, honestly.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I know a lot of comics actually pair music with, like, once you get to a certain panel, you get this, like, melancholy, this, like, bittersweet little music yeah. coming on, and it really just hits you right in the heart. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity in that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, Shen, I really appreciate you taking the time. I want to give you the opportunity to shout out any of your other work beyond Blue Chair or anything else you want our listeners to know.
Sure. I've got another comic called Live With Yourself, which is about time travel and living with yourself, like literally. So that's going to be coming back soon. It's currently on hiatus, but there's plenty to read of it even until then. And I also put out comics on my Instagram page, which is Shen Comics with an X, no spaces, no caps, nothing on Instagram. Those are pretty much my... Oh, can I shout out somebody else's other project?
Oh, sure. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this comic by one of my favorite comic artists wrapping up called He Is a Good Boy by Casey Green. And I think there's like 400 plus pages of it, but it, you know, it's currently coming to a close. Highly recommend that. Check it out. Really like that comic. So yeah, He Is a Good Boy.
Yeah. That, you know, talking about the Webtoon community, that's one of the things that I've met a lot of Webtoon creators, at cons and, you know, talking, having them on the show, talking, and everybody pulls for everybody. It's such a great community to be a part of. And what I find is the creators on Webtoon are reading other creators' work and always giving shout outs. There's such great content on there. So yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah. We're doing espionage. We're like, oh, this other person's got new tech. We got to get that. It's like a cold war. Yeah, it's amazing.
So you did mention your Instagram. I'll put a link to the show notes, everybody, so you can go and find it there to go and check out Shen's Instagram. Any other social media where people should be following you to find out when you have new stuff coming out?
The other big one that I use right now is Twitter. Which is my Twitter username is kind of confusing. It's the word shenanigans with an E-N at the end.
Okay. I'll put a link to the Twitter as well in the show notes. So everybody don't have to worry about trying to figure out how to spell it. Just go to the link in the show notes, click there and you'll be able to find it. So, once again, I want to thank you, for joining me, Shen. It was great to meet you and have you on. Hopefully we'll be at a convention, sometime together in the near future. I'll swing by and say hi.
Oh yeah, thank you so much, Jace. This was super enjoyable.
Yeah, and everybody be sure to go check out Blue Chair if you want some laughs what was the other strip? Living With Yourself, right?
Yes, Live With Yourself.
I can't wait to go check that out. That sounds like a really interesting premise. I mean, if it's anything like what I think it would be, like, I can only imagine living with myself. Oh man, I think I might come to blows, but we'll see. All right, we'll have a
that might happen.
All right, no spoilers. I'll go check it out. So all right, Shen, thanks again for joining, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Right, thank you.
All right, thanks again to Shen for coming on and talking Webtoon with us for Webtoon Wednesday. I hope you guys are really enjoying them. I haven't heard too much feedback on Twitter and such about Webtoon Wednesdays. If you guys are enjoying the interviews, please reach out on social media and let me know. I get a lot of retweets and a lot of likes, and I have a feeling a lot of those are from the readers of these strips. So if you're one of those, reach out and let me know if you're enjoying kind of getting a more in-depth look, kind of a peek behind the curtain, and if there's other questions or things you'd like me to explore. If you have other favorite strips that you'd like me to bring those creators on, please reach out social media or send me an email and let me know, and we'll see about getting those creators on. Webtoon is a great product, and a lot of the people that work over there are just awesome and amazing people. I'm really happy to be affiliated with Webtoon, and I'm going to keep doing Webtoon Wednesday. I mean, it's simply amazing. When I'm, you know, having read comics for 40 plus years now, and I'm discovering this wealth this treasure trove of new stories and comics. So it's really a lot of fun for me. So I want to thank everybody for joining. As always, please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.